Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and I'm Mark Rawson, and today is January 10th, and we're into our new year, and I just want to go ahead and welcome my co-host on. Pam, are you on?
I'm here. Happy New Year.
Go ahead, Pam. Yeah, Happy New Year.
Thanks. Well, as Mark said, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Spiritual Connections Radio, and tonight we have someone very special on. He is a friend of Mark's and mine, but he's also an amazing wellness expert and a theta healer by the name of David Culp. David, welcome to Spiritual Connections Radio.
Hello, Pam. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, it's
Hi.
So great to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
So, David, just to kind of get the ball rolling for this evening, can you tell us a little bit of how you got started?
Well, sure. I when I got out of the Marines, I went to work in the family business, and I started out with about 6 employees, and through developing and coaching employees, we grew, and eventually we had about 500 people. So the success of my employees allowed me to retire at the age of 49. So at that point, during those years, I gained about 60 pounds. So I decided to start running marathons, and then a foot injury caused me to switch to triathlon. And after my second 140.6 mile Ironman, I learned that fitness doesn't equal wellness. So at that point, I kind of started working on my wellness as opposed to my fitness. And actually, that's about the time that I met Mark in the 21st Century Energy Medicine program. So I did the 4 levels of that, and then was drawn to Theta Healing. And tomorrow I start the College of Ayurveda.
Can you kind of tell our listeners what Theta Healing is?
Sure. Theta Healing is an energy healing modality, and it's very powerful. There are a lot of different aspects to Theta Healing. What it's most known for is doing belief work, but you can move energy through the body. You can do physical healing. You can do belief work that's associated with specific disease. There's a number of different types of healing you can do with Theta. And hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that towards the end of the show.
All right.
So this,
go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, thank you for giving us some background on that. I know lots of times we're so used to talking to each other and to other people in the field, and sometimes we forget that some of the terminology we're throwing around is a lot of people just don't get it. So thank you for taking the time to tell us about that. Can you tell us a little bit about this new college you're going to, and what was it called?
Yeah, it's the College of Ayurveda, and it's at Balance and Bliss in Tampa, and they seem like really nice people, and I'm really excited about it. Ayurveda is the science of life, and it's a 5,000-year-old system of wellness. So, again, I'm really excited about learning more about it.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit more about that? I mean, what exactly is involved in learning something like that? And, like, you know, if I was going to be your client, how would you help me with what you're going to learn from that?
Well, Ayurveda is a system of wellness, and the system is based on the five elements, and that our bodies are made up of those elements, as well as the foods that we eat, our activities, and so if we balance the elements, if we balance our lifestyle choices with the foods that we choose, the activities that we choose, our exercise, then we can be in balance and achieve wellness.
I'd like to back up a little bit, if you don't mind. When you first started talking, David, you were talking about the difference between wellness and fitness. And that fascinates me because I know a lot of our listeners are interested in fitness of the body, but also wellness of the body. And I know you've told me this before, that it's very difficult to rise spiritually or feel good spiritually when your body is really not feeling good. So can you start by telling us the difference between fitness and wellness, and possibly give us some tips as to how to achieve both?
Well, absolutely. You know, all of the factors that go into your body, whether they be nutrition or they be emotional, the environment, everything that goes into your body affects your wellness. And, you know, something as simple as hydration, for example. If, you know, the body is a very large percentage of water. The lungs are 90% water. The bones are 20% water. The brain is 80% water. And if a person is not hydrated, well, the body takes the water, some of the water from the brain. So it immediately affects your thinking. So people at work are not as productive. And some of the studies, there are actually studies on hydration. There are studies on magnesium, which manages water in the body. So those studies show 68% of Americans are dehydrated. Some estimates are 75%. So, you know, dehydration, again, water intake has an impact on our spirituality, on our physical body, our mental well-being, and even our emotional thoughts.
So what you're saying really is that a lot of the things, the illnesses that we end up running into as we get older could really possibly be prevented by hydration. Things like dementia or Alzheimer's or those type of brain illnesses, do you think they're affected by hydration?
Absolutely. So really, to answer your question, the what I call the metabolic factors
mm-hmm.
are the nutrition, hydration, the breath,
mm-hmm.
Our sleep patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Medications can have a big impact as well. And my recommendation for medications would be to just make sure that you discuss them with your doctor and understand what the effects of the medication, what they are, because a lot of medications affect our hydration.
Mm-hmm.
So again, exercise, nutrition, hydration, the breath is really important. The breath... go ahead. Did you have a question?
No. Go ahead.
The breath, what's interesting is that as we experience life, the breath changes. If you get excited, the breath changes. If you're anxious, the breath changes. If you're in fear, the breath changes. If you are in love with someone, the breath changes. And consequently, the subconscious mind is what's controlling the breath for the most part. Unless you take conscious control of the breath, the subconscious is controlling it. So things in your subconscious mind affect your breath. And, you know, again, there's a big percentage of people that don't take a full and complete breath.
Interesting. Have you ever heard about a process called the Art of Living, which is the whole focus is breath? Do you know about that?
Is that who wrote that?
Shri Ravi Shankar.
I have not. I most of the information I've read a few books on the breath, but I did some breath therapy in with biofeedback, and the book that I think this woman was about 100 years old that did this therapy with me. But the book that she recommended is The Science of Breath. I got a lot of information from that book.
That sounds interesting. And what was the name of the author?
The Science of Breath. It is by Yogi Ramacharaka.
Okay.
I think it was written in like, it's over 100 years old.
Oh, wow. So this is not something that's been kicked out on the bestseller list in the last few years.
No, and you can actually get the book online for free, and it's a very quick read. But essentially, with the breath, you know, when you breathe, you're breathing in oxygen and vital life force the body needs. And that oxygen is processed in the lungs, and it's absorbed into the blood. And so the blood takes the oxygen throughout the body and then picks up waste products and then it delivers the waste products back to the lungs, and it's exhaled and ridded from the body. So if you're not taking a full breath in and exhaling properly, it's not good for the body.
Hmm. So you're not eliminating all the waste, and you're not really feeding your body with oxygen with every breath.
Exactly. So if you're dehydrated and not breathing, you're not living to your full potential. You're not living the quality of life that you could live. You wouldn't have the amount of energy that that you could have.
Okay. And what about nutrition? You were talking about, obviously, nutrition and sleep are important aspects of this. Nutrition as far as eating healthy food, obviously, you know, the fruits and vegetables and that sort of thing. Would you suggest taking vitamins as well?
Well, actually, I've worked with about 6 different dietitians, and most of them tell me, get your nutrition from food. So, you know, to some degree, I agree with them, and they're the experts in that field. And what I typically do is if I take – there are a lot of applications where you can enter the food that you eat, and it will tell you what your nutrition is and if you're short in any one area. And for example, and I don't do this every day, but I take and do it on occasion just to see – you know, how my diet's changed or if I'm getting the nutrition that I need. And I found that my potassium level was extremely low. So, you know, I went to the store and I looked at a supplement for potassium. But then what I also did is I kind of trolled the grocery store and found coconut water is really high in potassium. And some vegetable juices are really high in potassium. So the cost of the coconut water and the vegetable juice is much lower, and I feel much better for me, so that's the route that I take. But I do a green food supplement that I just, for some reason, I like doing it. It makes me feel better, so I do it.
Okay.
I think there are special cases, too. And when we talk about nutrition, everybody is different. So, for example, I mean, infants are different than children. Children are different than adults. You know, adults are broken down into categories. Athletes are different. People with special, you know, with chronic illness might be different if they're trying to do some nutritional healing. So everybody really has to have a plan that works for them.
Okay. I know that at one time, if I can flip over to Theta Healing for just a minute, at one point, you and I had a conversation several months ago about Theta Healing and the types of personalities or the types of people that you could categorize in the Theta Healing mode. And maybe I'm wrong. I just remember this conversation this way. Is it possible to use that kind of information for nutrition as well?
Well, let's come back to the what you're speaking of is the conversation we had about character types, and I have been using Theta Healing to address character types, and I'd like to come back to that.
Okay.
But to answer your question, I've used Theta Healing. I went to a course that was put on by Vayana at Theta Healing that was Your Rhythm to a Perfect Weight. And so with that, we use Theta Healing to get to the root cause of the weight issue the person has. So, for example, a person came to me for weight loss, and the very first day, it actually only took two sessions. But the very first day, we determined, we did some muscle testing, and I just had a sense that her weight issue related to safety. And I muscle tested her, and she immediately goes, she goes, "Oh, my God." She said, you know, after I got married, my clients were hitting on me, and my husband was furious. My ex-boyfriend wouldn't leave me alone, and she gained 40 pounds in just a matter of weeks.
Wow.
And we cleared that. There was a belief there that if she was, you know, if she was thin or she was at a healthy body weight, that she would be attractive to men and they would cause problems for her.
Mm-hmm.
So she, about 2 months later, she sent me a testimonial that's on my website, and she's doing really well.
Oh, cool.
So,
oh, that's
great. Yeah. So Theta Healing, we can actually we can clear limiting beliefs associated with nutrition, with goals, with really all areas of your life. I've had clients that couldn't set goals. They had limiting beliefs that prevented them from writing the goal. So it's pretty fascinating.
I think we all have limiting beliefs, but and I've experienced that in several of my seminars. When you ask someone, "Well, what do you want for you?" they often don't have any answer at all, and the answer that they end up coming up with is a goal that's actually someone else's, or for world peace, or something else that really doesn't relate to a personal individual goal, because they just can't get through that glass ceiling. If
right, that's exactly right, and actually that's one of my keys as far as goals is I've got an acronym that's called MEATY, to write MEATY goals for yourself, and what that is to make sure that the goal is measurable. And this next one I learned from Pam is that you have emotion in the goal, that the goal's attainable, that there's a time orientation for the goal, and that the goal is yours. And so often you see people go to trainers, and they the trainer asks them what their goals are, but that goes right out the window, and the trainer has their own goals, and they end up injured.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's important that people have their own goals, and that's what they focus on, and that it works for them.
And don't you think, David, sometimes people take on goals of family members? For example, their father always wanted them to be a lawyer, or their wife wants them to accomplish this or that, and to make her feel good, they do it, or to make him feel good, or fulfill their expectations, or to gain approval or admiration. Do you find that a lot in terms of people operating in a goal that really isn't theirs?
Absolutely, and that's exactly why I added that to the acronym. Because it really is important that it belong to them.
Mm-hmm.
And especially weight loss goals, sometimes it's not the person that comes that wants to lose weight. And I hate that term, lose weight. I really like the use of the term healthy body weight, because losing something, if you ever lost your keys, what do?
Panic. You panic.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I mean, nobody likes to lose anything. So, you know, if you lose weight, you know, I don't know that you want to run around and find it. But if you shoot for a healthy body weight, then that's something you can keep.
I see. I like that, too. It's a nice term. Okay. So we're in this mode of wellness. I have a question for you, because I didn't quite get how it was that you tested for your potassium deficiency.
Okay, well, there's a number of applications, and the one that I like is CalorieCount.com, and it's a wonderful service. You can it's free. You can go on there and you set up you put your name in there, and you can enter the nutrition. All of the foods are already preloaded. So if you had Kashi Vanilla Island cereal, you just select it and you put the amount you had, and then it keeps up with the calories and all the nutrition associated with it. And so you enter your foods, and then at the end of the day you look at it, and it gives you a breakdown of all your nutrition. It gives you a breakdown based on the recommended daily allowances. And they even have dietitians on staff that you can – I think you get some free consultations with them. But I do know that it goes to a paid service when you use their dietitian at some point. It's really a good service, and that's what I do on occasion.
That's interesting. Okay, thank you for that.
Yeah. But, you know, to me, the key is to start with the goal and to write the goal down. And I think everybody needs a wellness goal. And, you know, and then from there – The next step is really to build a routine of habits and to build healthy habits. And over time, those habits become subconscious. They just happen. I mean, we don't even think about getting up to brush our teeth. We just do it. And so if you build habits of, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I do a little bit of breath work. I do some breathing. I do a little meditation. And then I get up and I go exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm a little late at getting my exercise in, but I always get it in. And I try to make that a habit every single day. And then on days when, you know, if I don't have an hour or 30 minutes or whatever my workout was, I try to at least do 10 minutes. So I just keep repeating that over and over. And I think it's the cumulative effect of our choices over time, because, you know, part of my goal is to enjoy my golden years. And I think that for that to happen, I have to make good choices on a regular basis over the course of my life, so that I can look like Jack LaLanne when I'm in my 80s and 90s.
That's true. He just died recently, I think,
yeah.
In the 90s.
But he, you know, but he went out. He was, I see that he was enjoying life and he was active right up to the time when he died. And there are a lot of people out there that get in a situation where they can't catch back up. And, you know, they spend, you know, in some cases 10 years with a very low quality of life. And so that's why I think wellness is really, really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Both for your mental state, your physical state, and your spiritual state. Because as you said before, it's very hard to move into a level of spirituality where you can operate on that plane when you're feeling sluggish and tired.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, wellness, you know, ultimately is about balance. But I think if you could measure wellness, you would have to measure self-love. And I think that the higher level of self-love a person has, the higher level of wellness that they have.
Wow, that's quite a statement. Okay, self-love and wellness. Interesting. I like that. All right. Well, let's talk about we're almost at the break time. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am. So, excuse me, everybody. I'd like to let you know that you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. And if you want to find out more about our radio show, which runs normally every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can find out more about our radio show and our shows that are coming up on our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. We also want to announce that we're going to have a special show. We do this from time to time, and you can find this, find out about this on our website when we do offer it. We have a special show that's running this Saturday. We normally have our show every Thursday, but this Saturday we're going to have a radio show on at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we have Jonathan Goldman and his wife on talking about sound healing. And if a lot of you are familiar with his music and everything, he's got, I think, 11 albums out. Of course, they're not really albums anymore. I'm kind of dating myself there. And he's written a number of books and everything like that, and he was an incredible guest. It's very interesting when you listen to the show this Saturday. We actually pre-recorded it because of all our busy schedules. So I have a little bit of an idea of the show already. But we tried to play some of his music, and it was such high vibrating that it actually practically blew out the electronics in the studio. So it was very interesting to see that. And you'll notice that when you're trying to listen to some of the tracks that we played, because we played about three or four of his music tracks during the show, some of them you couldn't hear, unfortunately. And you'll actually have to go to his website and check that out. And with that said, David, if you could just tell people who you are as our special guest for tonight and how they can find out more about you on your website.
Okay, great. Well, my website is www.effectivewellnessservices.com. And there's quite a bit of information there about Theta Healing. There's a little bit of information about wellness that I plan to expand. I just started a wellness blog and hope to be blogging in the next few days. Recently, I've actually been working on two projects. One of them, there's a gentleman in the area. His name is Jack Moon, and he's a 46-year veteran of energy medicine. He's been practicing for an awful long time, and he and I have written or co-written a course called Introduction to Energy Medicine. And the course should be available in March, and the course is three modules and a video. And the course is basically for people that don't know anything about energy medicine or energy healing. And it can also be used by healers to give their clients a kind of a basic understanding of energy medicine. I've just finished writing. I have a little bit of work to do with regard to just setting the references and doing some fine tuning. But I've written a course in wellness. The title's yet to be determined, but that's also going to be available in late February or early March. It's 8 modules. The first one is goals and success. The second is routine and habits. Then there's the breath, hydration, metabolism, nutrition, exercise and sleep, and energy management. And then I plan to do some wellness workshops throughout the year as well. So basically my intention is to inspire others to work towards wellness and improve the quality of their lives and help people that are on a healing path to shorten their journey.
Oh, that's excellent. Thanks a lot for sharing that. And just one more time, if you could just tell people your website.
Okay, it's effectivewellnessservices.com.
Oh, that's great. Go ahead, Pam.
Well, I was hoping to take the second part of the show and focus a little more on the theta healing. Can we go there now?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Good, good. Because I'm really interested in this. I've had some theta work done on me back in the Middle East when I was there, and I think it's fascinating work. I loved it, and I know that you are quite experienced in this modality. And I wanted to get from you, first of all, you gave us a brief description earlier as to what theta healing was. Let's start with that again. Can you give us a description of what theta healing is?
Sure. Actually, can I start with just energy?
Sure. You can start anywhere
so,
you want.
Yeah, so basically, I look at energy management as managing or allowing the energy in and around our bodies. So our bodies are energy. So, a lot of people, they don't get energy healing because they're like, they think that it's voodoo. They can't see it. You know, how can you heal someone from your house in St. Petersburg that lives in Canada or, in California? But energy healing practitioners have been doing it for a very long time. And so with energy, energy can be visible or invisible. And so, for example, the sun produces energy and plants absorb the energy and they grow. And then we eat the plants and the energy is transferred to us. So first of all energy is not visible.
Good point.
And there's numerous examples. When we talk on a cell phone, I have absolutely no idea how the person on the other end of the phone can hear me in some faraway place. We're certainly not connected by a wire, but they get it. So we can send a piece of paper through a fax machine around the world and it pop out on the other end. So I think energy healing works in some ways the same as far as distance work. But then energy, it can't be destroyed, but it can be transferred or transformed. And then it holds information. And this is really important. Our cells hold information in our entire body. And many people think that just the brain holds information. But the information's in the entire body. And I recently read a book about, it's called The Heart's Code. It's a wonderful book. And a little girl, one example, one of many, a little girl had a heart transplant. And she received the heart transplant from another girl that had been murdered. And the girl that received the heart, she knew enough information to give the police to convict the criminal. She
wow.
knew what the person looked like. She knew where the murder weapon was. She basically described the scene. And so that's just one of many examples. So information is in our cells. So then we have categories of energy. So we have stored energy and we have emotion, which is which is energy in motion. And I think we're getting to a key point, is that repressed emotion has a tremendous impact on the body. If you allow the emotion to flow through the body, if you breathe through the emotion, it goes through the body. If the emotion gets trapped in the body, then that's where the problem starts. And you asked me earlier about Dr. Lowen and his work in bioenergetics, the character structures.
Mm-hmm.
And he studied over 100,000 patients, and what he found was that their particular issues, whether they be emotional issues, things like abandonment or fear or controlling personalities, those issues mirrored the body type. So basically what that tells us is that repressed emotion can cause a physical change in the body. So basically you can look at a person's body type, and you can tell that what type of trauma they suffered in childhood that's caused their body to take on the structure that it has.
Well, that's interesting. So how many different body types are there? Like, I know in Ayurveda, they have three very specific body types. Are there more in this type of concept?
Yes, there are a total of five,
mm-hmm.
And everybody would be a primary type of one of them, of a different percentage, though. I mean, you could be an extreme of one versus, you know, a person that has a little bit of each. And Ayurveda, it's a little different, completely different situation. There are three primaries, and then there could be a total of 10, because there's combinations of each.
Right.
So, but again, Ayurveda, you know, for 5,000 years, they have related emotion to illness and to emotion. You're familiar with Louise Hay's book and how she ties the emotion to a specific issue.
Right.
Vayana has written a book called Disease and Disorder, and she basically ties the it's a wonderful book. She ties the belief of different beliefs to different illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, science is starting to catch up. You know, Dr. Candace Pert, the neuroscientist, she states that emotional repression causes degradation of cellular processes. And she recommends body work and body-mind modalities that address it. You know, again, I think it's really important to recognize that when we're not feeling well or there's something in the body going on, that we identify what's going on emotionally with us.
I like that. So now we've got, our audience has, I think, a fairly clear picture that energy work isn't some voodoo, that it actually is a believable, operational type focus. We've got a brief description of, well, quite a long description of the concepts of wellness and a brief description of the theta healing. How do we take it from there? What is it that you do when you, like, if I came to you, David, and I said, David, I want a theta healing. I want you to help me. What is it that you would do for me?
Okay, so it would depend on particularly what you were looking to accomplish. You know, in some cases, if you wanted to do a session on self-love, we could do a session on self-love. And what that would entail is we would do some belief work to find we would find through muscle testing what beliefs that you have that are not serving you, and then I would ask you if you would like them changed, and we would address them.
Okay, let me be there for just a second.
Sure.
Because Mark had a good point earlier when he said not everybody knows the vocabulary. So let me ask you about muscle testing. What is muscle testing for our audience that hasn't ever heard that term?
Okay, so we carry beliefs in our subconscious mind. And the difference between the conscious and the subconscious is that if you are breathing and you're not thinking about it, the subconscious is controlling it. So if you took control of your breath and you decided, I'm going to breathe in 6 counts and exhale 6 counts, that would be your conscious mind. So we're dealing with the subconscious mind. And we would do a muscle test. There are a lot of different forms of muscle testing. The one that I like is the person stands facing north, relaxed, closes their eyes, and I ask the I say the statement yes, or I say their name, and they typically go forward, and it's a slight pull, and that gives us a yes answer. And then on a no, the person typically goes back. In a case where they go opposite, we simply reverse the polarity with a simple movement, and then they would go forward for yes and backwards for no. And
so
then
you're saying the body is actually answering the question?
The body answers the question. And and to take it a step further, what's really interesting is that we can find out, Vyana teaches us that there are beliefs on 4 levels. And the core level beliefs would be, anything that you learned or belief that you gained in your current life. So from the time that you were in the womb to your current life, current day, would be core level. So your mother says, Pam, you got to eat all the food on your plate, or there's kids starving and you just have to eat all the food on your plate. You hear that over and over and over again, and then that would be a core level belief. Or I had a friend that used to say, I'm just stuck at this weight. And he would say it over and over and over again. That creates a belief. It would be a limiting belief. So the next level would be genetic, which would be any up to 7 or more generations in your bloodline. So beliefs that were in your family could also be in your body. And those beliefs could influence your decisions. And then the history level would be past life or deep genetic beliefs. And then the soul level. And we can test on each level. And in some cases, a person tests yes on a core level and no on one of the other levels. Or they test 2 and 2 or 3 and 1. So
okay. So once you have this information that the body answers for you, then where do you go from there?
Well, from there, energy healing, the practitioner is not the healer. The practitioner, is kind of like a conduit.
Like a facilitator.
Right. And some people use the term that we connect with Creator, we connect with God, we connect with Source, we connect with the universal energy. There's all sorts of names. To me, ultimately, it's love energy that we're connecting to. Because in reality, energy is non-denominational.
Yes.
So the practitioner goes into a theta brainwave and grounds themselves, and then
now,
they go to...
I'm sorry, David. What is a theta brainwave?
Okay, so the theta brainwave is a very slow-moving brainwave, and it would be like a really deep meditation. And
okay.
Vyana teaches us a process basically to go into a theta brainwave and go to the seventh plane. And so we connect with the spiritual energy or love energy, and then we make the request that the belief, the limiting belief, be pulled, or an emotion be pulled, and then replaced with some and we list the what the replacement is, and then we just witness it, we watch it happen, and then. I typically feel what the client feels. I typically feel it as opposed to see it. Sometimes I see things, but typically I feel it.
I see.
And then we retest to make sure that that the belief is cleared.
All right. So let me go over this again for our audience to make sure that they're crystal clear as to the process. I think it's fascinating, and I'm sure we have many audience members that feel the same way. You first, you muscle test the body and ask certain questions about the issues of the body as to what the memories are on different levels, anything from core level when you were a baby, if I remember correctly what you just said, to a deep genetic or soul level. So it takes it from this life actually to past lives to a soul level. Then once you get those answers, what you said was, let me think about what you said. Oh, you move up. This is the next question I had, because I think a lot of people could have been lost there. You move up to the seventh plane. What does that mean? And you ask for this to be removed. Now, I know that this can be very complicated, and you've done a lot of training to get to this point. What I'm trying to do is to get a basic understanding of it. So can you explain to us what the seventh level is and how you ask for things, or to whom you ask for things?
Yeah, well, basically, I guess in some ways it's a co-creation. And so you're asking this love energy to do the work, and so the love energy does the work, and it happens, and the practitioner witnesses the work being done, and it's really that simple.
That's lovely. That's lovely. And have you had a lot of success with this work?
You know, I have. I've only been doing this for about a year and a half now, I really enjoy it. You know, I'll give you a self-love example. I had a girl tell me that her daughter didn't like her. She says, "My daughter doesn't love me." That was her words. And so I muscle tested her. My muscle test was, I know how to receive love. And she tested no. So it was a less than a 5-minute process. We sat down. You know, I went into theta. I asked for the work to be done. And we retested her. That night, her daughter called her and asked her to go out. And their relationship changed. It was her, the problem. It wasn't the daughter.
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful.
So,
and I think, you know, I think in relation to this, I think sometimes you can know how to receive love from other people, but the mother-daughter relationship oftentimes has such genetic screwed up stuff in it, if you don't I don't know how to say it. You know, it's got these genetic beliefs about mother daughter where they're always trying to fix each other, and there's it's a much tougher relationship than it is,
right,
for example, with your son or with your husband or don't you agree with that?
Oh, I do. I can't answer the mother daughter thing. That's you know much more about that than I do. You know, there's a couple things, couple points that I'd like to make for our audience before we go, and I know we're starting to run out of time. And one of them is that energy healing, and not just theta. You know, I've experienced a lot of different modalities, and energy healing is just really amazing. You know, it's not the norm, but there are a lot of cases where people have spontaneous or instant healings. You know, our teacher, Mark and I's teacher from 21st Century Energy Medicine, Deborah King, had a healing for cancer. Wayne Dyer just recently had an energy healing that for leukemia. I had a session with a girl last night who had a degenerative bone disease at stage two, and they told her she needed a hip replacement, and she did Reiki and Qigong. And the last scan showed the bone growing. So there are a lot of different modalities. You know, I for the life of me, I can't understand why athletes are not using energy medicine more, because I guarantee you I could have kept Evan Longoria on the field last year. You know, the healing in some cases can be reduced from, you know, 12 weeks to a third of the time with the help of energy medicine. So there's a lot of different applications for it.
I see. So. Well, that's fascinating. What you're telling our audience is that if there's an issue in your life, and usually we all have issues, to not perhaps to be more flexible, to not focus on this is your only source of healing or your only source of movement, that you need to explore what's right for you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I would never tell anybody not to seek professional medical attention for a condition, but at the same time, I think that you have to, you know, I think Deborah King says all hands on deck, and use all the options you have at your disposal, and you might find the energy medicine works for you. And then the other thing that I would say is then that I personally know people that they reach a point where they have to make a choice between a therapy that's traditional, like chemotherapy, for example, and they choose chemo, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And I think the same holds true for energy. There's people that I know that have gone different routes, whether it be nutritional cleanses and different things that work. And I think each person has to discern for themselves what works for them. But the last thing that I really want to make sure we get out there is that the most powerful tool you have to create wellness for yourself are your thoughts and your emotions. And really that brings us right back to the goals module. And, you know, the course that I wrote, it starts with goals and success. It goes through all the metabolic factors, and we didn't talk much about exercise, but as you know, I'm a big proponent of that. But again, the key is to get started and set a goal, write it down, and you know, hopefully, you know, your goals include high frequency emotions of self love. And also love of helping others. And I really wanted to make sure we got that out there.
That's great. All right, I think that's amazing advice. When you said that this new wellness modules, the wellness modules that you're writing, would be available when?
I'm looking at the end of February, the 1st of March, and my intent is to post them on the training site Udemy, which is a wonderful training site that will house training. I'd really love to see you put the Keys to Life program on there. I think that would be wonderful.
I would like that. I know we've talked about it before, and that's a definite possibility this year. So What's the name of the website that you're going to be posting to?
It's Udemy. It's UDEMY.com.
Okay. Udemy. I like that.
Yeah, UDEM. D as in David.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
UDE as in Echo, MY.
Okay. All right, that's good. And so are you going to be lecturing or doing this?
I am going to do some
seminar?
Yeah, absolutely. I am going to do some workshops to just kind of an overview, and I think the blog that I'm going to do is going to include basic stuff from each module. And I'm definitely going to call on you to be in my first workshop.
I'd love that. I love that. So, in your blog, what are you going to write about?
Well, I'm going to write about wellness, and I think I might actually do a blog kind of tracking my trek through Ayurveda. And so what I've learned is writing this program, I've learned a ton, which, of course, you told me I would. I think that writing about Ayurveda through the course will be a fun way to let everybody know a little bit more about Ayurveda, and also to help me learn a little bit more. But then, of course, all the modules that we talked about, we probably could spend a couple hours on each one of them. So I'm going to blog on each module.
Okay, that's good. What's the name of your blog?
If you go to my website, there's a blog button. You can click it, and it shows up there.
Okay. And what's your website again? Everybody one more time.
Yes, effectivewellnessservices.com.
Okay, great. Mark, are you there?
Yeah. We're just ending the show, and I want to say thank you, David, for being on. Just incredible, all the different knowledge you have and how you're helping people. And as always, Pam, it's always great to have you on as a co-host. And I want to thank both of you for being on this evening. And we're going to go ahead and close out with our song. But before I do that, I want to just remind everybody again that we have that we have Jonathan Goldman and his wife are going to be on this Saturday on Spiritual Connections Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tune in for that great show. And go to our website to see what other great people we have coming up over the next couple months, and you can find our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Thanks, and have a good night, everybody. Good night,
thank
David.
You,
good night, Pam.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.